Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
I'm Heath Mullick.
And I'm Mark Whitten.
Welcome to Double Drop Kick on the Road yet again.
Yet again.
And as always,
we're trying to get out in traffic right now.
Yeah, so he's having
to pay attention to what he's doing.
So Mark, why don't you tell everybody what you've been up to?
Nothing. What have you been up to?
Man, I've been to Buffalo. We're on our way to PWX show tonight, which I'm just going to be completely honest. The number one reason I'm going, the main reason I'm going, Zack Sabre Jr. will be there tonight. He's one that we've...
The only reason.
Right. And wrestling Cedric Alexander, so I'm pretty pumped for that.
Cedric Alexander, we were talking, is going to be in the Cruiserweight tournament that WWE's
doing. It's very likely. He has finished up with Ring of Honor. He's finished up with his dates with Golden Corner Wrestling, and the rumor
three
now.
Count wrestling. And by the way, we're going to be up to 85 here directly.
Yes,
and I can't remember.
I don't know
if you have to go right or left.
Yeah, I wish they would come up with a universal when you're crossing a bridge and got to get on the interstate.
Can we just decide it's always going to go right or it's always going to go left?
Yes,
you have to.
Yes.
Kind of hover around doing 10 miles an hour so you won't be in traffic in case you got to cut across it.
Yeah. I agree with this area, though.
There's so much over here. We come over here a lot. We go to Costco. I want to go to this this Bad Daddy's Burgers. I would really like to try that sometime.
Now, there's a Mongolian Grill up here.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Is it good? What do they do there?
So, basically, they got all the raw food. It's like hibachi, but it's different kind of food.
Gotcha.
And what they grill it on is they just got this big old circular stone grill.
Gotcha.
And you just get everything you want, and it's all you can eat. Oh, dear heavens. Woodruff Road on a Saturday. Good night.
Yeah, may not have been the best of choices. You ever eaten at Freddy's Steak Burgers?
I have not.
They are awesome. We need to go there.
What's the...
That's where we should have went and ate lunch at. I forgot it was over
there. Oh, my goodness. We ate at Taco Bell.
Which used to be the unofficial sponsor, but the one in Greenville...
No.
Whatever that is, the Motor Mile.
There are pictures on the cash register. The lady... I'm sure she's a nice lady... But she was not. She was not trained effectively.
I don't think so. I don't know that she was quite earning the $15 an hour.
And
they feel they.
And you and I, we went a little light on lunch. We both ordered three.
I didn't want to have to do. I'll be honest with you.
We both ordered three things, and it took them about 10 minutes to make them.
Yeah, and like I said, we should have come right over here. To Thin Lizzy's, where you can get three tacos for $9.99.
See, I'm trying to be a good person and not block. I'm sure somebody's about to honk at me, but I don't want to block the intersection.
You're trying to obey the law.
That's right. That's right.
Which is don't block the intersection. But still, we should have came to Freddy's. You would have loved it.
How would you compare Freddy's Steak Burgers to Steak and Shake?
I've never had Steak and Shake.
What?
No, never had it.
Somewhere man. Mike Mooneyham is crying.
Yeah, he is, man. It's different. Like, they use ground steak to make the burgers.
Uh-huh.
But the burgers are not thick at all. I mean, they're...
Right lane.
Like this thick.
Yeah, okay.
But you get, like, a triple. So it winds up being like this, you know?
Detour 85 North Ramp.
Mm.
It says it's PM.
Yeah.
8 p.m. tonight. So, we were talking about Zack Sabre Jr. I thought he was doing a seminar tomorrow. But it was today. And if I had realized that yesterday, they would have gone up and...
What are you going to do? You're going to pay to take a seminar and not
I would pay to observe. Because I'll tell you, when we went to Bushido and Cedric did his seminar and Ace Armstrong... was in it and earned his way into a title match that night.
Well, good for Ace.
Joker, as you call him, yeah. Affectionately.
Yeah.
But it was very informative for me as an announcer to just hear to just hear some of the things and
you're just a mark. You want to sit in on it.
I wanted to learn. I'm trying to learn, trying to better myself. Not satisfied with the greatness that I've already achieved in this industry.
Gotcha. Okay.
But you mentioned the Cruiserweight Classic that Cedric Alexander's going to be in. 32 stars from all around the world.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it. We did a mock draft on our show. I think WWE is about to sign. Mm-hmm. They're about to go on a signing spree. Rumor is they've signed Tommy End to an NXT contract.
Okay, I like him.
I think there's a lot of these guys this summer
that are going to get wrapped up.
Who are, yeah.
But that's what always happens. I mean, a couple of years ago, it was Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose and Chris Hero and Cesaro and those guys. They all got signed up all at one time.
But for me, it's a little bit different now because it's going to be some...
You're following it now.
Well, it's guys who are... from the Carolinas.
Right.
There's going to be two, maybe three, four, five guys from the Carolinas and Georgia who will be part of this signing spree. And that's exciting to me.
Yeah.
It's exciting. You're happy to see them get that opportunity. But all these guys that you've been able to go about every weekend and see perform... You know, they're not going to be there anymore. And so...
Well, somebody will step up and take their place.
It's interesting to see how that's going to affect some titles tonight. Mm-hmm. I just think the next couple of months, especially the Carolinas, I think it's going... In a good way, like you said, it's going to provide more opportunities.
Yeah.
You know?
Get to see some guys step up in the local level and move up to another level. I mean, that's the way it goes. They're feeder systems for WWE now.
Yeah.
Should be interested. I mean, they better do something because I've never been more disinterested. I was thinking the other day, I think after SummerSlam, I'll probably give them till then. If they don't make some serious changes, it's going to be time for me and WWE to see other people.
Well, I'm just watching the pay-per-views.
Yeah, me too.
You know, if there's a good promo or a good segment, you can normally find it on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, if I hear about, like, I watched AJ Styles and John Cena. I didn't watch it this Monday, the contract signing. I hadn't watched it yet.
Oh, Mark.
What?
That was an awesome promo.
I'm sure it was.
I mean.
John Cena's always good for a good promo, I mean.
But he was really on his, in my opinion, he was on his A-game. And the great thing about the promo, and any great promo, there's a little bit of truth to it. I mean, when Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes would riff on each other, there was some real life, a little bit of real life animosity there.
Yeah, professional jealousy. Yeah, professional jealousy.
And I think anytime that bleeds into it, it's not necessarily a shoot, but there's some truth to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you use real emotion and craft really good promos with it.
And, and AJ Styles, he's always been one of my favorites, but not known for his promos.
No.
And I think, say what you will about John Cena, when it comes to promos, when you're doing a promo with John Cena, he's going to make you raise your game, in my opinion. And it was vintage.
I don't think it's just your opinion. I think
it's a fact.
Like, it's like you saying, my opinion, the day after Thanksgiving is the busiest shopping day of the year. You know what I mean?
And don't you forget that was my opinion.
Yeah.
And you heard it here first.
It's my opinion that the holidays are when the most people do the most traveling.
It's my opinion that I-85 needs some serious work on it in the corridor.
You ain't lying, man. You ain't lying. All this money. money they waste.
But the same government that can't keep these roads fixed, we want to put them in charge of making sure bad guys don't get guns.
Right. Yeah.
And how's that working out for us?
Yeah, because what I understand is the last couple of shooters, they told them, wait, these guys don't need to have guns, and they sold it to them anyway.
Yes, yes. Because, ridiculous. So we were talking about Zack Sabre, another English wrestler. Will Ospreay just won the New Japan Pro Wrestling Battle of the Super Juniors.
Uh-huh.
Won that tournament.
Which led you to text me that this has changed your outlook on wrestling and blah,
what?
Blah, blah. You were like, it's inspired me to create my own match rating system.
So the big news was... there was a highlight reel of his match with Ricochet, which was one of the early matches in the tournament.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, it was the first match Ospreay won. And it was just a 3-minute clip. And if you just watch this 3-minute clip, you're thinking, boy, this is just terrible. I mean, just this high spot fest.
And then you watch the whole match, and that's what it is.
No, well, I disagree. I disagree because it's a 20-something minute match. And New Japan, give them kudos. They saw what was happening and said, and they typically don't do this. They release the whole match for free.
Right.
Hundreds and thousands of views.
Which is really smart because it did generate some interest in that tournament that a lot of people probably didn't even realize was going on.
Right. No, you're absolutely, absolutely right. And, I watched that and we live wrestling in the 70s and 80s. Was about John Wayne. Wrestling today is about the Matrix.
Okay, that makes sense.
And there's room for both of them in wrestling. I felt...
For me, had that been the main event of WrestleMania, I would have said, oh man, this is, I don't want, you know. But for it to be a match in the cruiserweight turn, that's what cruiserweight wrestling is.
Yes, yes, absolutely agree
with
you.
So I didn't really have a big problem with it. I didn't think it was near as good. I wanted to hear about this match rating system.
So I didn't. It's just the beginning.
That was just off the cuff,
right?
Hyperbole.
But but you know, Dave Meltzer's got his 5-star system.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain criteria for a 5-star match with him. For me, I was thinking, okay, if we did, if you were going to do 5 stars, what are the things that have to be? So for me, it was a question of, do I know why these guys are fighting? Okay, so let's just use Ricochet and Ospreay. All right, they're in a tournament. Boom, you get a star because I know why they're fighting. They got a reason. This is not just a thrown together match. There's a reason these guys are fighting. So that was my thing is, why are they fighting? Do I care about why they're fighting? Mine was more of the technical of the match, of what, but the emotion of the match.
Gotcha.
So mine, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you after I told you to explain.
But you know what I'm saying? So, you know, why? So can you look at a match? Why are they fighting? Do I care why they're fighting? Do I believe them?
Uh-huh.
Do I believe that they're fighting? Okay. Do I believe
so
this?
Do you believe that Ricochet and Will Ospreay were fighting?
No. I believe that those guys were in a cruiserweight tournament trying to prove that they were the best cruiserweight in the world, and that's the kind of match they put on.
Okay.
They put on a match of, can you top this?
Okay.
The equivalent of... in the old Westerns when they would do a shooting contest.
Okay.
Throw something in the air. Bang! You know?
Uh-huh. Okay, I don't disagree with you. I'm not going to, like, rip it apart. I just want you to explain.
But it was just like the beginning of an idea of, you know? And what, you know, like I said, I didn't... Do I believe those guys hate each other? No. Do I believe they were putting on real fight? No. But I believe they were trying to...
It was just one-upsmanship.
Right.
I can do this. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Anything you can do, I can do better. That kind of thing.
Right.
Okay.
And the bad thing is with wrestling is everybody copies everything, so...
Right. I didn't much care for it.
I'm not surprised by that.
It's not that it was. I mean, for what it was a good cruiserweight match. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But like, maybe it was because I had worked all weekend.
Right.
And I had been reading about it. And I'm expecting, like, where Dynamite Kid and Tiger Mask revolutionized that style of wrestling. And I was kind of expecting that from it, that it was just going to be this match where you watch it and say, wow, I mean, they really changed the game. And I don't think they did change the game. I don't think they – maybe they did, but I don't think it was in a good way.
Here's the thing. I agree with you. I don't think they changed the game. I think they closed the chapter.
And it could be. I mean, this may be the moment, because I heard Kevin Sullivan talking the other day about how he did a class with some young guys.
Yeah.
And was doing one of these seminars that you were talking about. And basically what he said was there's been this turn with these new guys coming up where they've been watching all that stuff and realized what was missing from it was people selling. It was people acting like these moves hurt. And then they were doing the cool moves, but that when they hit a cool move, they didn't just jump up and do another cool move.
Yeah.
They let that cool move sink in for a minute.
See, when I went back and watched that whole match, I thought there was more selling than what had been talked about. I thought there was more slow points in the match where you did. And I love, you know, Ospreay, when he was just, like, Ricochet would chop him and he would just say, you mother, I thought that was very entertaining to me. And that made it, like, you talk about, is that real? Yeah, that's real. If a guy just slaps you across the chest, you go,
yeah, something at him.
And I did.
So, speaking of Ricochet,
that's
your take. They got it. Well, I wanted to also talk about the Vader.
Yeah.
Kind of same way. And, like, people are still, like, just hammering Vader for having an opinion about this
thing.
You know what I mean? And here's the difference.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, regardless of what anybody says, why you should listen to what Vader says, the difference between Ricochet, Will Ospreay, and Big Van Vader is Big Van Vader drew money.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And those guys, as much as they may draw 200 people to an American Legion building once every few months, they ain't never going to sell out to Tokyo Dome. They ain't never going to sell out Dallas Stadium. They ain't never going to sell out whatever the stadium is in Miami. They're never going to sell these places. They're never going to draw 60 or 70,000 people there to watch that. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have a place on the card. It just ain't at the top of the card.
Right.
And if they're happy working the cruiserweight style in an American Legion building, that's fine.
Right.
Some of them seem to be. So I heard. So that led me, like, Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay amened it at Ricochet. And then he said something about this. Said there were three rules for his gimmick table.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, don't put a drink down on his stuff. I understand that. I got no problem with that. Number two was don't pick up my display T-shirts. Hey, you messing them up. Okay, maybe that. But the third was, if you have a podcast, don't ask me if I want to be on it, because I don't.
Yeah.
And, of course, every time there's these guys that just fawn all over these guys. And they agreed. Hey, I agree, and this and that and the other. And then one of them said, well, I just like to go up and shake a guy's hand and tell him I appreciate him being there. To which Ricochet responded something like, really, it's not even necessary to shake. I don't really even care to shake hands.
Really?
And I thought, you know who wasn't too good to shake my hand? Dusty Rhodes.
Right.
You know who wasn't too good to shake my hand? Ric Flair.
Right.
And I can list that Jim Ross wasn't too good to shake my hand. None of these guys were too good to shake hands. But all of a sudden, Ricochet is kind of talking like maybe he don't want to shake your hand. And it dawned on me that's why this guy's not in WWE. Because he's a jerk.
Well, okay. So you have talked about this before. We've talked about this before. So all three of those times, Ross, Rhodes, Ric Flair, you had paid money for that interaction.
True.
So we paid money for them to shake our hands.
Okay. I don't disagree with that.
Now, I agree with what you're saying about Ricochet. If I'm approaching your table, if I buy a T-shirt from you, buying a handshake.
True.
I'm buying an autograph.
I agree with that. And there was one guy that commented, I did think it was funny because I kind of read the whole thread.
Yeah.
That he said, if I'm taking money out of my wallet to pay you for a t-shirt, is it okay if I set my drink down to do it?
Oh, man.
But they just thought, man, who are these guys? You know what I mean? They're nobodies. At the end of the day.
Right. In the grand...
I promise you, I make more money at my job every year than they do wrestling.
You probably do.
I know I do.
But you work hard for your money.
True. They just show up and wrestle.
You make... And, hey, your craftsmanship makes a difference in the lives of everyday Americans.
I got a weekend I'm going to work coming up. I'll probably make more money in that weekend than Ricochet is going to make that month. If he's too good to shake my hand.
I don't think you got to worry about that. I think it's people like me, you know. I think if you walk up, they'll say, yes, sir. How are you doing, sir?
I doubt that. I mean,
Now, I will say this. There's a etiquette in the wrestling business. You told me this years ago.
Uh-huh.
When you walk in and when you walk out, when you walk in, you shake everybody's hand. Uh-huh. And when you walk out, you shake everybody's hand. And it so now it strikes me when people don't do that.
Yeah, it is funny. I mean, you feel weird. Like we were in the locker room a month or two ago, and a guy walked in, and we passed each other. I was just coming from peeing, and he was just going to pee, and so we didn't shake hands.
Right.
So we both understood that we've been fiddling with our penises here.
Yeah.
Let's wash hands before we shake hands.
Yeah. So, Rob Killjoy, he's going to be on the show tonight.
Uh-huh. He's a good guy.
When you talk about Rob Killjoy, we first met him at Westside.
Yes, sir.
And at that point, we were nobody.
We're still nobody.
Well, yeah. But he came up to us.
Right. How's it going?
Yeah, and was just super, super nice. And
and he's a good worker, too, man.
Yeah, Killjoy.
He's so good.
I enjoy watching Killjoy. I like Killjoy because he lives his gimmick.
Dude, he shows up at the arena with his gear in a trash bag.
Yeah.
He's awesome, man. He lives that. He is Rob Killjoy.
Yeah.
You know, 24 hours a day, I guess. Every time I've ever seen him, he's been Rob Killjoy. He's great, man. I love it.
Yeah.
I love his gimmick where he's kind of unhinged. And he's a super friendly, really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
But I'm just fed up with the wrestling business, man. To be honest with you, I'm fed up with watching it. I haven't watched anything. The only thing I watched, the only reason I keep my WWE Network now is because the old stuff, they put up Super Clash 3, and I finally got to watch...
The AWA.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I finally got to see the Manny Fernandez Wahoo McDaniel strap match.
Oh, my.
See. So, I mean, I just haven't been able to find it anywhere. It was probably on YouTube. I don't know. I could, you know, I would search for it, couldn't find it. But I've always been a big Manny Fernandez fan.
Yeah.
So, I like...
You're probably going to pass his house today.
Probably. I watched his shoot interview on the High Spots Network the other week. It was
really
good, man. It was real good. I mean, it was interesting to hear him talk about some of the stuff and you know, the team with Rick Rude and how that came about and how it ended with Rude just kind of leaving and going to WWF. And how he kind of, like, man, he pretty much just told him to do it. He's like, man, this is going to kind of hurt you, right? And he's like, man, you got to go. This business ain't about doing what's best for me. It's about doing what's best for you. And
you
got all this money on the table. I'd take it if they offered it to me, so you might as well go take it.
Yeah.
You know? But it was a good interview, man. It's worth watching. Especially if you like the Raging Bull. And I always did. I thought he was a good worker. I can always, like, pick out the real tough guys. Those are the ones I tend to like anyway.
And his heel turn Oh, it broke my heart, man. Yes. It
broke my heart.
Yeah.
But he was not a fan of working with Jimmy Valiant.
Really?
Yeah. He said he liked him. He said he was a friend of his. He just didn't really like the program all that much. You know, he didn't feel like he could do his best work with Valiant. He liked working with guys like Wahoo.
Barbarian.
Yeah, he liked working with the guys that hit a little harder and gave a little more. I'd like to meet him. He's like one that I've never had a chance to meet.
Yeah, he doesn't do a lot of...
He doesn't. He was supposed to be at WrestleCade last year, and he wasn't there.
Huh. Speaking of WrestleCade, we're not going to be able to go to FanFest this year.
Right.
Due to extenuating circumstances.
Which sucks, man, because I enjoy that time.
Because I want to meet Tony Schiavone, because I'm an idiot. I mean, not an idiot, you know what I mean, but that's just... I knew I wasn't going to be Dusty Rhodes, and I knew I wasn't going to be Ric Flair, but I could be Tony Schiavone.
Right.
And, I mean, you speak about that. So, I went to Buffalo for the Wesleyan Church General Conference.
Uh-huh.
We did the live stream, and then I hosted, like, ESPN Roundtable, did all these interviews. I think people... Like, what I do in wrestling, that's who I, like, interviewing people, commentating, giving analysis, that's what I do.
I was telling my wife that the other day. She was talking about the equipment and stuff that we use and all this stuff. And I said, no, you don't understand. For the Wesleyan Church, Heath is like, he's like the, I don't know, the Bryant Gumbel of the Wesleyan Church.
More like the Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, the Ryan Seacrest of I said, when they have these conventions, he goes all over the country and, like, does these round tables. They got a set that they sit on and do all this stuff. It's a big deal, man. And people don't even understand that. They don't know that about you, you know?
Like, I love, like, I love doing interviews with people. And, the stuff I do for the church, it has helped me in... wrestling, because it's the more you talk to people, the more you learn how to interview people, because most of the interviews we do in wrestling are on the spot interviews,
right?
And so we typically we're gonna ask a guy what got you into wrestling, you know, what's the wrestling you grew up with, and you know, maybe one or two other things. But if you don't go in with, like, this list of 20 questions.
Right.
And I think there's some people that is their interview style. Like, if they don't have the 20... I think not just the interviewer, but people being interviewed, if they don't have the 20 questions in front of them, they kind of freeze. And to me, all an interview is having a conversation with somebody.
Right.
And the more natural you can make it feel...
That's like you were talking about trying to get an interview with Zack Sabre Jr., and it probably is not going to happen. Because every time we go to these things, we talk about it, but they come out for like 30 minutes, and everybody swarms them. I mean, they're not going to do an interview when they're selling stuff. And then once people quit coming to their table, they leave.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... Most of these guys aren't hanging around for the whole show.
Right. So, Zack Sabre, Will Ospreay, both guys from England. But really, how would you compare, contrast their styles? I mean, how, like, in this day and age, they're very similar body types. But is there room in wrestling for both of these guys? Do you understand my question?
Yeah, because I think Sabre Jr. is more of a mat-based kind of grappling wrestler. They're not the same. I mean, you know, it's like saying... Stan Hansen and Road Warrior Animal are from, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
two different, you know, are Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero or Eddie Guerrero's.
Well,
that would be more of a comparison, okay?
Yeah.
But like Bret Hart and Edge are both from Canada, and they're two different wrestlers.
Right.
So I don't.
But I'm hoping...
Like where a guy's from doesn't matter.
No. I'm just saying we've been a long time without having some breakout stars
from England. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But I'm excited for both these guys because, like you said, they're totally different. And I'm interested to see the, you know, I think Cedric Alexander and Zack Sabre Jr. have very contrasting styles.
I feel like we're in a convoy here.
We are in a convoy.
You seem to like riding in the pocket between all these semis. Well, it's kind of making me nervous.
You're always like, I like staying in the right lane and I just let everybody pass me. And I just go do my business.
And I like riding in the left lane and passing everybody. And I'm trying to go for a happy medium.
I don't care what you do. You and always get us there safe.
The Millennium Falcon here, you know, I'm scared. Yeah. I ain't got R2-D2 and Chewbacca to patch stuff up in the back.
But the air conditioner was farting earlier.
It was. I thought it was you. But now, I'm nice and cool, you know.
Summer day. I feel good.
I knew that I would.
So,
there was some other stuff we were going to talk about.
Kind of like when you get on 85 going 100 miles an hour, you're like, no, I'm not, that's not a criticism. I'm saying there is a certain level of kind of paying attention to what's going on around you when you're in heavy traffic. It ain't easy to concentrate. I've been watching The Flash.
Yeah, I watched both seasons of The Flash. Please talk about that.
Oh, it's just great, man. I mean, I fell in love with this show. I started, the first season dropped on Netflix. And it had been there for a month or two, and I'd been meaning to watch it. And I said, oh, you've been out of town.
Yeah.
So we didn't record for almost a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It wasn't that long.
It was. We recorded, and then we would have recorded 2 weeks later.
Okay.
We weren't there.
Right.
So it has been almost a month. So anyway, I love season one so much that I bought season two. And I just don't do that very often.
No.
But I spent $50 to buy season two of The Flash because season one was so good. And just devoured while you were gone, I killed both seasons, man.
Wow.
Just plowed through them. And they were so awesome, man. The first season, though, the storyline of the first season, man, was just so good. And it just comes full circle, like his mother getting killed, his father going to prison, and him trying to find out who the real killer was, and all these moments, and you just have to watch it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Well, the great thing for me about, like, I got into Arrow, so I haven't started watching The Flash yet, but I watch Arrow.
And I've just started watching Arrow.
And to me, the great thing about these shows is you can't just watch one episode. You can't just say, I'm going to watch episode 11 of season one.
Right, it ain't like the Big Bang Theory.
No, it is. You have got to commit to it. But if you do, and you watch the first to the last episode of a season, there is an amazing payoff.
Oh, yeah.
And everything ties in. Like, everything I loved about Seinfeld, even though each episode was individual, there were these underlying themes that throughout a season they would keep tapping on.
Right.
And then they would tie it up. And I'm excited to watch Flash. I actually bought, you said season two leads into the Flashpoint storyline, which I just bought that graphic novel today. We went to Borderlands.
You want me to go through what I bought?
That's right. You go.
Tell us. It's something good to talk about.
Yeah.
We're on the road. So we went there. We went to Second and Charles, and they had All right, so before you do that,
at some point, don't we get off 85?
I'm sure we do.
Well, I mean, my phone is being used to promote the podcast.
So maybe I should take the initiative to find out. Oh, man, I'm far less technically inclined than you are. So here's what I'm going to do. I've got Hickory, North Carolina's best barbecue restaurant.
Ah, okay.
Already in my phone, so I'm just going to hit. Hopefully, we're going to the right
place.
Hopefully,
this is not I've never been to Hickory, but hopefully, it's not like this metropolis.
So, you wouldn't think a place named Hickory would be a metropolis.
No. You get us there,
we're just going to get an idea of what.
What town?
We're 1 hour and 14 minutes away.
That sounds about right.
80 miles, I-95 north, but I don't see.
I-95?
I'm I-85 north, I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Well, this says in 600 feet, dig exit 78 onto US 221. But I don't think that's right.
That was 2 miles ago.
I thought there would be like an 85 exit up in North Carolina.
No, because Hickory is west of Charlotte. Well, that's about as far as my...
Maybe we need to pull over.
No.
And get a bearing. It's hard to get... We're going 80 miles an hour down 85. I'm trying to find us.
If you just hit directions, it'll tell me how to get there.
What's the name of the place that this is at?
The Armory. The Armory of Hickory, North Carolina.
Hickory, North Carolina. Are you going to edit this part of the show out or
no?
This is National Guard Armory.
National Guard Armory.
Hickory National Guard Armory.
Yes.
U.S. Army National Guard Armory in Hickory, North Carolina. Directions. Yes. Start. 444 miles, take exit 17 on the U.S. 321.
Okay, there we go. All right.
So we're looking at exit 17.
Exit 17. But what we're looking at now is what you bought at Borderland.
So, because I'm all about the flash and you beat me to getting flash points, which I wasn't going to buy there anyway.
Right.
So, because I just ain't paying full price for graphic novels. I'm sorry. I can get them a lot cheaper. But at Second and Charles, they had their graphic novels buy two, get one free. So I picked up, I just started watching the TV show Preacher.
Yep.
So I've been following it.
Which is not based on my life.
No. So they had, are you going to put this video up or are you just going to
I'll put this video up if you'll
so I got
not Preacher. Say bad words in it.
What? Why can't you put them up if I say bad words?
Just.
Oh, you didn't put the other one up because you considered consider that a bad word?
I didn't want it on my YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Anyway, you don't have to put the video up.
I want to put the video up. I think this is groundbreaking.
Okay, Preacher.
Yeah.
Book one. And then The Flash Rebirth, which when I, because I'm into the show now, I wanted to read a good Flash story. And when I Googled, I'm going to actually read the 52 run because I can get all of them on my Comixology account.
From his friend, Pete.
Yeah, but I wanted to read Rebirth because this is like the rebirth of Barry Allen. When they brought him back into the fold. And then Final Crisis, which will come up here shortly because Heath and I are going to discuss. He's going to tell me some of the best DC storylines that I need to read. And you told me that before I read this, I need to read Crisis on Infinite Earth. And what else was it?
And Infinite Crisis.
Infinite Crisis. And then...
That's the Final Crisis.
This is the Final Crisis. I picked up issue one.
Now, before you move on to that, I will say this. That Final Crisis, okay, Grant Morrison had a run in DC. This is several years back, where he had a run on Batman and he had a run on other comics.
I remember that.
And you got to read all the way through to Return of Bruce Wayne.
Right.
And it's like, it's a huge, like, there's so many times... Grant Morrison, you either love him or you hate him. His run on JLA was amazing.
I've read the first of the 52 books.
At that Return of Bruce Wayne, he ties up all this stuff that this whole time you've been like, what the crap was he talking about? What was this? And he does. So for me, yeah, there you go. Tales from the Dark Side. So
issue one of Tales from the Dark Side.
Yes.
And the reason I got it, number one, I like Tales from the Dark Side. I like horror stuff, but it's from the Lock and Key team of Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. So I haven't read Lock and Key, but Joe Hill is Stephen King's son.
Ah.
And he wrote a great book called Nosferatu that I loved. So when I saw it, I thought, man, you know, I'll give it a shot. I mean, it's the first issue.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what it was about. The Frank Miller returning with the Dark Knight Returns, The Last Crusade, issue one.
And this is the prequel.
Prequel to Dark Knight Returns,
yeah.
So that just came out. I read Civil War 1 the other week, so I picked up Civil War, issue number 2 of Civil War 2, which so far, I mean, the first issue, did you read it?
Yes.
So, spoiler alert, they killed War Machine. And it pissed off Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And then I've started, based on your suggestion, I started the Rebirth stuff. So I read DC Rebirth, which with the big reveal of The Watchmen, and I want to kind of just see where it goes. So I'm starting to pick those titles up. I read, the Batman and the Superman that was in between this. They just called it Batman Rebirth, Superman.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about. What was the deal with that?
What they did is you had DC Universe Rebirth, and then everybody got just a Rebirth issue. All right, that was just like Rebirth number one. Whereas this is Batman number one, the first issue after Rebirth.
Are they going to continue the Rebirth storyline? Is that something that will be like Civil War where you'll have to buy that title?
What I heard, okay, is that Rebirth one was, it was a one shot.
Okay, all right.
But I heard that if you had Rebirth, and then you had Flash Rebirth and Teen Titans Rebirth, that those three were the trilogy that needed to get the full picture.
That's what I was looking for today, and they didn't have them. They had sold out of all the Flash, and they sold out. Sold out of a lot of stuff, dude.
Well, we're gonna hit some. You know, we're gonna hit these comic book stores in North Carolina.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll have them. But anyway, Batman number one, starting that, and then
that's a great. This is a good time if you do not, if you have read comics before, but you haven't read comics. Now is a good time because they're kind of, it's the Batman that you know and love, and that Batman, that issue right there, Mark just showed. It is an amazing issue. I was riveted by it. It's starting a new storyline, but it is everything you love about Batman is in that issue.
Yeah.
There's a conversation between he and Alfred that is, it's just, oh man, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
I've got my dookies lined up here.
Your dookies?
I got five good dookies the way I see things. It takes me about one good dookie to finish. And if I get done dookieing before I'm done with the comic, I'll go ahead and finish reading it.
Right.
You don't want to buy used comics from me. That's legit. And then finally, Scooby Apocalypse, because I love Scooby-Doo growing up. And I just read a thing the other day that said this was a good story. It's kind of more of, it appears to be
not cartoony.
Not cartoony. A bit more of a darker slant on the Scooby-Doo mythology. Yeah. So I heard good things. I just wanted to check it out. And I buy a lot of my stuff. We talked, Amazon had bought Comixology. Well, they finally got them linked up where everything you bought on Amazon, you could download to your Comixology. And it's so much better on Comixology the way it's set up.
Right.
Have you used it before, Comixology?
I think I have. I think most of my stuff I bought through DC, which is through comics. But I buy stuff on the Kindle, so it comes through on my Kindle app. And see, reading stuff on the Kindle app is good. Most of the time I use an app called Comic Flow for digital comics, which is pretty good.
So Comixology, what I like about it is when you start the comic, you tap the first panel, and it blows that panel up full screen.
Right.
Basically. And you just swipe and read the comic that way. When you read them on Amazon, it would show, like, I bought Watchmen through the Amazon store. Somebody gave me a gift card. And I was like, man, there's really not much I want, so I'm going to just buy me some comics.
So
I bought Watchmen and
So Comixology, you tap on the individual panel, and it'll do the panels in order?
Yeah.
Where it's not like that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it blows up for the screen, and then when you're finished with that one, you just swipe, and the next panel comes up. And when you do the full
splash.
It does
the panels in order.
You know, when you do the splash.
Yeah.
The splash pages where you, like, the full page will be one picture.
Yeah.
But it'll have little thought. It will move from the thought bubbles in the order that you're supposed to read them. And then when you swipe it for the last time, it shrinks it down and lets you see the full splash page.
I think reading comics, you have to learn how to read comic books. Because sometimes
they're not in order.
Yeah,
I love reading them on comics. Because I don't like, honestly, like those comics I bought, sometimes I just like to go to the comic book store. It's not really about like the easiness of buying them digitally. Sometimes I just like to go walk around the comic book store and buy the comic books. But I'm not putting those in plastic sleeves. None of those are alternate covers of anything. They're not going to be worth anything. And it's just something I got to keep up with. Digitally, I don't have to keep up with all that stuff.
So we're walking around a comic book store. All
right. It's funny to watch you go into like a comic book store because, dude, you're like very much all over the place anyway in life. And when you walk into the comic book store, you're just like, oh, look, oh man, look. But, you just go from place to place. There's no rhyme or reason.
I saw all this cool stuff that I had money and could have bought it, like toys. But now I'm at that point in life where what am I going to do with it? And where am I going to put it?
Right.
Like, I'm at a point in life where I don't need... We're talking about a wrestling belt that I've been wanting to buy that they'll probably have at this show tonight. And you said it best. What are you going to do with it?
True.
And part of me is just having it. And the thing is, everybody's got one now.
That's true. Everybody has one. Everybody.
But this is the belt that I've always...
True. But well, here's the thing for me. I used to go, before you and I started hanging out again, we would go to like the Heroes Are Hard to Find convention. We would go to Dragon Con, me and a friend of mine. So we'd go around these different cons. And on that day, like, I might take $250, $300 with me.
Yeah.
And I would just say, I look around, I kind of get an idea of what I want. And if I don't find anything that I want, this is the money that I budgeted. So if there's this thing here that's $100 that I've always wanted before I leave, I started buying those Randy Bowen statues for a while, which are...
Right.
And I wasn't buying the full size ones. I was getting the mini statues that they would put out. But even those could be up around $75-$80, man. But here's the deal with comic conventions. If you go on Sunday, a couple hours before the show's over with, those guys don't want to pack that stuff up. So we would go like on the last day of the convention.
Yeah.
And yeah, some of the cool stuff's already gone then.
Right.
But like they had a really cool Hulk Bowen statue that I bought. It was normally like $75 and I got it for $35 because he just didn't want to pack it back up. And I had a ton of that. I sold them all on eBay a few years ago. I needed some cash. But I had four or five of those and I had a really cool Wolverine bust.
You probably made money on those.
Yeah, I did. And I sold like when the Marvel first started releasing the action figures, you know, they did the Iron Man. Well, they did a variant of the Iron Man where he had a gold suit on. And I found the variant, like, just at Toys R Us one day. I was there. So I bought it and held on to it. So I got it for, like, $15, and I sold it for $75. Just got lucky it happened to be there. Normally, you can't because there's these grown-ups that have ruined buying toys for children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not like that. If I happen to find it, that's great. I'm going to pick something up if I know it's worth money. But these guys are, like, getting there when the store's open.
Every day is Black Friday to them.
Right. And they know people. They pay people that work at those places to pull them out of the cases and save them for them.
So, speaking of that, you mentioned Flashpoint, which I bought at Borderlands. Because I think I've read it, but I don't know if I have it. And you mentioned, you were checking out, you mentioned, and he says, oh yeah, Flash, this is great. And you said, yeah, I'm looking for Flashpoint. And he said, yeah, man, I just got it in my pull box and waiting to get paid so I can buy it. And I was like, you are a customer with money to buy it now. And he's got it sitting back there, and he ain't got money.
Right.
I just didn't think that was right. So rewind a little bit.
There's nothing I can do about that. I agree. If I own
the Sandy Mulligan in me, throw a protest.
The Heath Mulligan in you, who I've always said is a stooge. Do you remember the first thing you said to me when we walked out of the store?
Yeah. What did I say?
You said, I feel like I should call and tell the manager that he did that. It's like, that's your go-to. I feel like I should tell. Should I say something with it? I got to tell you, Kat, I don't think you'd make it in prison.
I wouldn't be there very long. Probably I'd either not. Be dead or I'd be out.
And that's true.
So, rewind a little bit. You were talking about Scooby-Doo. You were talking about how that comic you got was not cartoony. I want to get your thoughts on this. Having children, they've redone, they got new Scooby-Doo cartoons, and they're just as entertaining as the old ones are.
Are they?
I mean, yeah, I will sit down. If Scooby-Doo's on, if a Scooby-Doo cartoon's on, we'll stop and watch it.
If it's on, but
and
I
they
like.
Did the Scooby-Doo WrestleMania thing. We bought that.
Can I borrow that? Because I'd like to see
it. Well, it's on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
I might can get you a copy.
You probably can.
But anyways, in the live-action Scooby-Doo universe, and I'm talking about the old live ones that had Freddie Prinze Jr., and then now they're doing, like, these prequel Scooby-Doo movies. What are your feelings on Velma, who in the old cartoons was always portrayed as not that pretty, more of a nerd, and Daphne was the hot one? Now they're trying to make Velma good looking too. What do you think about it? I mean, I'm fine with it. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not opposed to pretty girls.
Let the record show
that when it comes to pretty women, I'm a fan. My wife said the other day, she said, as we were talking about this to the show, so she never listens to the Double Dropkick Show.
Of course.
But I said something. I said, well, you know, if you listen to the Double Dropkick Show, you would know that about me or something. And she goes, Mark, I live with you sitting around giving me your opinions about everything. Pretty much my whole life. The only time I get a break from it is when you go record the Double Because that's the way we talk to each other. You know, we are, we tell people all the time, we're Frank and Marie Marone. You know, she's a, I'm not just some trophy wife, and I'm saying, what competition in hell did I win? And I got you the trophy. You know what I mean? So that's like our thing. I mean, we pick at each other like that. But I forgot what I was going to say because it got such a laugh. That
Velma and Daphne. That's
So I said, as a matter of fact, I would kind of rather you not listen to the show because sometimes I can be a tad baldy. Which, she's used to that too. That's not like this big surprise to her. But like, when I start talking about other women and stuff, if I'm listening to the show, I want to come make sure she don't hear me talking about how hot I think somebody is.
So, one thing...
And then she doesn't care.
One other thing about Scooby-Doo, and then we can get off of Scooby-Doo, is like...
Dude, if we talk the next half an hour about Scooby-Doo, I'd be fine with it. I love Scooby-Doo. I started to buy... Like, you could get, like, season one and two for, like, $15 at Walmart.
I'm just going to tell you, all right? I think, like a lot of old cartoons, those aren't as... The animation storylines.
You say I'm just going to tell you, but you always are just telling me before I get to finish my thought.
All right, we'll finish your
thought. Which was, but I said to myself, I will buy that and think this is going to be the greatest thing in the world. I'll go get me some popcorn to pop, buy me a 2-liter of Mountain Dew, pop the popcorn, pour the Mountain Dew, sit down, start Scooby-Doo, get 15 minutes into it, and say, I might should have left this in my childhood.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's going to be as good.
So I do enjoy
them.
Right.
If I catch them on TV and I watch an episode, it's great. I love it. I love to do that. But it's not something that I think I'm going to binge watch an entire season of Scooby-Doo.
So...
Because I made that mistake with the Fat Albert DVDs.
Oh. I think I got those too. Boy, that's it.
It didn't hold up, man. It didn't hold up. But I loved it when I was a kid.
Now, the new live-action Scooby-Doo. So the ones with Freddie Prinze Jr. And then now there's four live-action movies all together.
Gotcha.
And all of them... See, on the TV show, the old cartoon, there was never any true... supernatural component.
No, it was always
smoke and mirrors, something. Right. But in the new...
They say Scooby... The one lesson I took from Scooby-Doo was that the monsters are really inside of us.
Well said.
You know, real people are the monsters.
We'll get to that in a minute. But I didn't... That's one thing I didn't like about the new live action is there was, like... In one of them, there were real ghosts.
I remember
I just didn't dig that.
I remember watching the first one, and I think I watched the sequel.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm exposing my love of Scooby. I bought a Scooby-Doo comic book. That's how much I love Scooby-Doo.
Own all the movies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Scooby-Doo fan. I haven't got into the new ones, and I probably should.
But on the cartoon, like, even the new episodes, I'm just going to tell you, I'm 41 years old. I don't be able to figure out who the bad guy is, and sometimes I can't.
Really? They're that good, huh?
I mean, it's like, I think it's this guy. I mean, even to this day, you know, all right, they're going to make you think it's the cranky old janitor.
Right.
It ain't going to be the cranky old janitor. And
it's going to be the millionaire. But you're telling me in this one, sometimes it is the cranky old janitor.
I'm telling you, Scooby-Doo is on, we stop and we watch.
Huh.
Because one of the reasons is when my daughters were born, and they were still in the crib at this point, I went to Six Flags and one to the, you know, the fairway, whatever that's called,
uh-huh,
games. And I won like a frog and I won a Scooby doll. And when I got home, I put Scooby in one crib, I put the frog in another crib. My girls still have those 11 years later.
Huh.
But, you know, that became, we didn't go anywhere without that Scooby-Doo. Melina really didn't need the frog, but Karis, boy, that Scooby-Doo.
Is that how you identified them?
Yes.
Because you knew right away which one carried which, so that let me know that's how you identified.
Yeah, and oh, some good memories. Good memories.
I bet, man. Anyway, I love Scooby-Doo. I ain't ashamed of it. I love The Flash.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.